page 236, electric vehicle charging stations. Councillor Pryor to move.
I can move that. I think someone has to move first, and it might as well be me.
May speak to it if you wish.
Yep, I'm happy to second this. I've been raising it for a long time and identified it as an opportunity for the council to get some income. I've always had this quest to find other sources of income for the council, apart from parking fines, apart from rates.
Selling water.
Selling water is probably one of those, but you know, there's other priorities at work. I don't know whether there's any indicative idea of what council income might be, because it's an important part of our thinking. Because if we think that we can actually get some money from this, we might be more inclined to put our hand up for a bigger distribution network. And to realise that that there is a new source of income. Because the way we're heading, let's face it, there's electric cars being advertised on TV now. The Nissan Leaf, I think, was the latest one, is advertised on TV. It does concern me that the council, I think, has one electric vehicle, that Mitsubishi MEV, which they don't make anymore. And we did invest in a electric car charging station at Thompson, the solar one. What I'm getting at, there is some real irony that we've got that project going up at Thompson that we've invested in, and now we're going to probably invest in another one, and yet we've only got one electric vehicle. Is that the case, Mr. Mayor?
Going to just get some quick advice on the number of electric vehicles, Mr. Barnwell. It's more than the one you mentioned.
There's more? What? Okay, more than one? It's two?
No, we've got four. We've purchased four Corollas, which are
they're not
fully electric.
I've got a hybrid myself. I wouldn't call that an electric vehicle. Like, let's talk about the same thing, please. An electric vehicle runs on electricity only. How many have we got?
Well, we no longer have the Mitsubishi one.
So we've got none.
That's right. Yeah. Zero.
Okay. So, I, members, I hope you take the point that we've invested in Tom's League, we've put money into that, and had this feel-good get-together up there with the university about the solar-powered electricity charging station for cars, and now we've got this, but we don't have any cars ourselves. We need to correct that.
That's probably a good point to finish up. Is that seconded?
Well, I thought I was seconded.
Yeah. Oh, you were seconded. In that case, is anyone opposing? No. Well, then I'll put the motion. Sorry, there is a point, Councillor. Let's get a question.
There's people in the vehicle industry that are actually sidestepping electric altogether and going to hydrogen. So could we actually make this a little bit broader, that we look at, I think you do need more vehicle charging stations, but I think also we need to look at the other options, and maybe look at, whether there can be a combination of a potential hydrogen charging or cell swapping, however they do it in the area.
Councillor Gibbon, when I look at the motion that's been moved and seconded, I don't think it excludes additional investigation of what you're suggesting.
Yep.
So that could be another chapter again, and you might well speak to managers about bringing forward another report to council about those developments. But I'll ask staff for comment about that.
Through the chair, we're excited by hydrogen, and we have a hydrogen generation facility at Tonsley, which we're actively keeping an eye on. and Ms. Gibbons in our environmental team is monitoring that and keeping us up to date on that. So we've certainly got a watching brief on hydrogen, but this is an opportunity that's arisen for electric charged vehicles. Carl actually has been monitoring this across the three councils and he wants to pursue that, and that's why I've got him here tonight. And it particularly focuses on EVs, but certainly hydrogen is on our watch as well.
And a question from the Mayor as well. There was talk of income generation, but I had assumed that if there was a call to market for establishment of electric vehicle charging stations, that they would want the income from those stations, or is that necessarily so? Or how does that stand? Mr. Lundborg.
Yep, through the chair. So really the EOI is just looking for sort of electric vehicle charging stations, companies to provide just business models to help provide us.
All right, so that can be explored later. All right, there are no other questions. Been moved and seconded. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we'll go on to, and thank you Mr. Lundborg for your work in the area. We'll go on to page 239, the community gardens policy. Members had a good discussion about this in the forum. You've got the policy in front of you. Who would like to move? Councillor Hutchinson moved. Would you like to speak to it? Councillor Telfer seconded. Wish to speak? Anyone against a question? Councillor Holt? Ms. Harvey.
Thank you, through the chair. We have a separate verge garden policy, so this is specifically about community gardens, this policy.
Read it separately.
They're treated separately. I think from that answer you can take it. Yes.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone speaking against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we can move along to page 261. The Local Government Finance Authority AGM's coming up. Oh, excellent. Now, I'm happy to be your representative, should you wish to insert the Mayor's name there. I'm planning to go along anyway. I wouldn't want to miss it. Councillor Pfeiffer?
I'll most gladly support you as the Deputy Mayor to be the member there.
Right, so you're moving as printed with the Mayor's name in Clause 2. Thank you for that. Councillor Pryor? Seconded. Very succinct. There's no further debate. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. My ticket to the Entertainment Centre. Fantastic. We move on to page 265. In fact, there are, let's see, I've got a few corporate reports for noting, just the two. So let us move them en bloc if you wish. The corporate KPIs and the questions taken on notice register. Of course, you can ask questions or comment on either report. Moved, Councillor Schilling. Wishes to say anything? Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Anything? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Sorry, Councillor. Oh, well, no, I'll withdraw that. Councillor Telfer wanted to speak to that. Yes?
Standard where, it's called, where we got 73% achievement against the target of 75%, the staff engagement. How do we work at that, or how does that change? Obviously, the pulses changed in some way?
It might have something to do with the period during which the survey was taken. I'll ask Mr. Skoll to answer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It is a good question. It's something about which we're concerned. It was the quarter four achievement of 73%, which is under our target. We're actually working with the management team to, I'm calling it lead the lift, because there's been a slump in staff morale, which is this indicator. We're pretty sure it's been the result of a few things. The enterprise bargaining agreement with the ASU, where we got across 51% to 49%. There have been some higher profile departures than normal, and I think that actually, well, we know that that's actually made some people feel uncomfortable and nervous about restructures and what's going to happen after that. And I would report here that we're well on the way to replacing the two GMs that I'm talking about, and the two managers that also form part of those departures, they'll be filled once the GMs are in place. But we acknowledge that this is an indicator of, you know, a slump in morale, so people have very clearly told us by a couple of percent under the target.
Very well. I think we're now ready to take a vote on it. So all those in favour... Sorry, there was a question. Sorry, whoa. There was a question. Councillor Hogg? Yes.
The Sturt Police Station. Staff asked me to send them the archival reports that I had from 1993, and I've done that. Given that the Minister of the Dark did indicate that the building would be built to the strictest of workplace practice, has the administration got any concerns about the current situation at the community or in with the lack of growth?
Who would like to answer that from our front bench?
The Minister is one
of our planning supremo, Mr. Delacombe, will answer that.
Thank you, through the Chair. We have been in contact with SAPOL and the department, and to ascertain the level of responsibility that we have in this matter. Staff are at the moment convinced that the government is performing its role in taking care, that's the state government, I should add, is taking due care and consideration for the occupants of its building and the care of that asset in that respect. We have a duty to be informed when anything changes and are keeping regular contact with them, but at the moment we're satisfied they're taking the necessary action. I can't comment on the first question. They'd have to direct that to SAPOL, I would suggest, in the first instance, through the Chair. The second question, again, we believe it was built to the standard that it was designed to the appropriate standards and built accordingly. I wouldn't make a comment on whether... We have not been invited to, nor through the Chair, would struggle to find jurisdiction to make it our business to do so.
The Riverside Golf Club. Well, starting to get into very hypothetical situations, Councillor Hull. As to when the police station might be reopened, I suppose that could be taken as a further question on notice, and staff could make inquiries which might be beneficial to us, but that's about as far as it can be taken. Councillor Schilling? Yes.
Just regarding questions on notice, the wrong attachment is attached to the answer to my question about numbers of dogs, and I got clarification from Ms. Murch this week, who supplied me with the right attachment. Can we ensure the correct attachment is in the minutes?
Yes, I saw the correction done by email, so the correct attachment needs to be in the council minutes. I assume that can be just done clerically. Thank you. We are just about to vote on that. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. That was our KPIs and questions on notice. Motions with notice on page 287. Billboards on the upgraded Oaklands Crossing. Councillor Hull to move.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the council needs to at least advocate on behalf of the community that it's not the desired outcome to have these billboards. The council's just spent a lot of money, I think $10 million, as a contribution to landscaping in this precinct. And I think all of us would agree that there's been a wonderful improvement in the landscape. There is one billboard remaining, which now stands out because it's denuded of trees around it. It stands out much more than what it used to. And now there's a proposal to build another one on the southwestern aspect, which will be an LED sign. And it just really, it's really poor form in terms of our relationship. We went into a relationship in good faith, contributing $10 million to landscaping, and then they see the dollar sign and decide to put up a god-awful LED sign that you'll be able to see from probably Seacombe Heights. I just think that it doesn't demonstrate goodwill with our relationship in this project. It's a shame because it's such a wonderful beautification of the area, despite losing all those wonderful old trees. But they are an eyesore. And not only that, if we're really rigid-dige about driver safety and driver distraction, which is a project of the South Australian Police at the moment, why would we put up these signs, illuminated signs, at intersections and busy thoroughfares? It's just like the ones that we have on bridges on the Southern Expressway. But in this case, it is just a blot on the landscape, and I hope you all agree with me and at least advocate so the community can see what we at least tried. We at least tried to convince the government that this is not a good idea.
Thank you. Now, from the chair, 2 points. One is just very minor. The word rational should have an E on the end, to be rationale. I believe that's what's intended by Councillor Hull. But secondly, more importantly, and Councillor Hull, you may take issue with this, but I'm going to disallow that second sentence as being part of the motion, because really it should have been stated as the comment from the councillor in support of the motion. So we don't move a motion that says this is a fact. We move a motion that says council is going to do something. So there's no issue with the motion that council should write to the whoever, but the motion should really end at the end of Oaklands Crossing. You're happy with that? Having said that, if the motion is passed, I'd like to reassure Councillor Hull that rationale will be deployed in the letter that's written. And I raise that because it's of general benefit to members as well. So the question is whether the motion is seconded. Councillor Pryor, anything to add? Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Schilling?
Just a point of clarification and potentially an amendment. The member for Mitchell no longer exists, to my knowledge. It's now the member for Gibson.
Thank you. I'm sure that the mover and seconder will take that on board, and I think that's the appropriate target. No. Let's say bright is the new black. With that clarification, thank you. Anyone speaking against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So we'll move on to got here. A disability lift at the Oaklands Railway Station. Councillor Hull to move.
And first up, I'd like to congratulate you, Mr. Mayor, on at least during the construction phase, gaining the ear of dip tie to actually put it in the first place, get it right the first time. But look, it's now built, and we can now see the challenge that disabled people have. It's a very long ramp up both sides, and during that journey, those disabled people expose the elements. There's no cover. If it's raining, they'll get wet. If it's hot, they'll get hot. And let me assure you that interstate, the governments provide this without hesitation. Go to Queensland, go to New South Wales. There are lifts for the disabled. And despite the rhetoric of the excuses that, you know, there's maintenance and breakdowns and all that, they still provide them. Now, in our case, if one was provided, at least there's a fallback position with the ramp. It means that they're not going to be isolated. But it was interesting in the report that a number of people in our community have flagged it as a deficit with the project. And I think that we should at least start lobbying, preparing to lobby, as we've done in the past, quite successfully, with the Oaklands Crossing, as one example, the State Aquatic Centre, to actually gain the ear of candidates that this is an expectation of our community, that you retrofit this wonderful project with a disability lift. It's a lot quicker too. If you're running late for a train, you don't want to be trying to get your way up in a wheelchair in a very slow fashion. So there's the time factor as well for the disabled people. And I think that we, once again, we owe it to our community, at least try.
Councillor Hull, thank you for that. And you know, I appreciate your move on this, but I just ask you to consider whether you might rephrase that as gives a high priority. And I only ask that because I don't want other councillors to be put off by the fact that it might have a higher priority than other major projects, for example. Up to you.
It goes into a grab bag of hopes and aspirations for us during the election of state and federal MPs. So that's okay.
Yep, enough said. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, thank you.
Yeah, just quickly, given the close proximity of a few of our disability or disabled services and things like that to the station, this really is a bit of an oversight. I think it's a good opportunity for someone to come forward and fix this up.
Oversight may not be the word, but I know what you mean. Now, anyone speaking against or question, etc.? Councillor Valescu. Up to you, Councillor Hull. Let's do that. I'm taking an informal approach to this disability / access. Right, Councillor Telfer.
The highest be changed to a high.
Right. That's an amendment. Did you wish to speak? Sorry, Councillor Hull. Oh, you were happy to take that on board? So the mover and seconder are happy to, and leave is granted, I presume, for it to be moved in that form. It gives a high priority. So there was a misunderstanding there and no need for the amendment. That's fine, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Valescu?
I think that a lift would only work here if you increase the security. That area is not very safe. people do not feel very safe in and around that place. I know of a family member who sort of collapsed and she thought someone was going to help her and they basically took $50 out of her purse. So it's not the sort of place where I think people would feel comfortable using a lift. And unfortunately, the people with a disability or mobility issues would be the sort of targets that would be sitting ducks in that area. So I actually think that until we get a safer station, a safer area, that a lift is going to hardly get any use at all.
I'm just speaking in support of the motion, and I don't believe that that area has been designed unsafe. I believe it's a safe station, and the area is no different to any others.
Anyone else speaking against? Then, Councillor Holder, do you wish to close the debate?
Very quickly, Mr. Mayor. If somebody wanted to be a predatory and attack disabled people, they don't need the lift. They can do that right now. They can do that right now as the poor people try and negotiate the ramp. There's a long run-up to tackle some unsuspecting disabled person on the ramp. I think the lift will be the great advantage to disabled people and elderly people alike, who would struggle to go up and down the ramp. They don't deserve to be out in the heat. As you know, the ramp is 200 metres long. It's fairly long, and you could be wringing wet by the time you got to the train. And I think once again we owe it to our community. The lift itself would have obviously surveillance in it, monitored surveillance, I would imagine, in a lift. And we can't obviously prevent every possible crime. It's sad that we do have people out there capable of doing this, but they can do it now when they're walking up the ramp, let alone being in the lift. So I hope you can see through that one.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? I'll just ask for that vote again. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 302. Prostitution, Councillor Schilling. Is that a point of order?
I declare a conflict of interest regarding SAPOL as my employer, and I request that I could leave the meeting.
Oh yes, please do. That will be duly noted and quite properly declared. Thank you. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. This motion's come about, been contacted by several residents regarding the current legislation that's before the State Parliament. Upon receiving these phone calls about how we're going to decide whether we allow brothels or workers to work off streets and stuff like that, I contacted a local member to discuss what the ramifications would be, and they confirmed with me that it probably would be come down to council to decide where brothels can go, what streets can be used, and that it could potentially also be similar to our inspectors going into food facilities to check them out, that it could be the same for this industry. I originally wrote the motion slightly differently, but after some discussions I decided to change it so that it didn't look as if though council was completely opposed to it. I understand we all have differing views on this matter. This motion is more having reservations about the way that it's currently written, and that we don't want to pick up the cost of the state. We want to stop cost shifting. It's not our responsibility to look after this. I believe that SAPOL and the government and other areas within state government could look after this better than what we could. And I will leave it up to the chamber. But I just really feel that it is going to put a greater strain on our budget. We all might have our own opinions on this legislation, but it's more towards council, and I really don't want to be the one choosing where a brothel or what street can be used for different types of work.
Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy, wish to speak to that?
As Councillor Schilling stated, this is not about whether or not we support the decriminalisation of sex work. I actually do support it, but I don't believe that council should be regulating the industry, and I don't think that we should be bearing that cost. It's interesting that the state government want to cap council rates, but they're happy to forward costs and responsibilities to us. So I'll be supporting this motion.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Valescu?
And is that this is actually being used as a ruse by people that are not in favour of the legislation. A little bit like the Republic, not this Republic. So I don't think we should get into that. I think that if we, I'm just concerned we're getting caught up in this. And I know that the people that are on either side will be quite organised, and they'll look at all the arguments, how to stop it. And this seems quite innocuous, but I actually believe that it's possibly part of that debate and part of that campaign. And I don't think we should be part of that.
Right. Anyone else? You've got a question, Councillor Hull?
I'm not sure what's wrong with the Republic, but...
Can I just clarify? Are you asking a question or speaking in favour?
No, I've got a genuine question.
Yes.
When this went out to consultation, and it did, council commented on this. Has council already made these comments to the South Australian government during that consultation phase?
I'm not aware that we had in respect of this round of legislation. Any of the managers? None of the managers are aware of that.
Was there or is there going to be a consultation phase?
There was a letter sent to all councils, or at least this council, and I directed that the letter be placed on the extranet for elected members to peruse. But I'm not even sure from memory who sent that, whether it was one of the proponents of the bill or who it was. I'm not aware of any other consultation process. Councillor Hull.
Well, can we find out? Because I remember this is not the first time this has come before us, I'm sure of that.
Okay. Well, state parliament deals with the issue approximately every 5 or 6 years.
And I do remember this council's made comment before along these lines that, you know, we don't want to have a cost burden. I'd like, if somebody can take it on notice, that will and make the appropriate questioning, will we be actually formally asked for an opinion on the bill, as we've done in the past?
Well, I think that's going to be a separate question to tonight's debate. Because it might take a short while to uncover that. But as I say, I'm not aware of any formal process from the government as such. It may just, I think perhaps that one of the members of parliament wrote to council, but that's perhaps not what you're talking about. A long time ago, the government itself put forward some prostitution bills in the alternative, and I think there was extensive consultation then, but we're talking about a very long time ago, maybe 15 years ago, something like that.
Time flies when you're having fun. Mr. Mayor, just to address Councillor Blescu's accusation...
Well, sorry, you're speaking now in favour?
No, I'd like to know whether the motion can be specific as to what our concern is, because part of it is very open-ended, that basically we don't support the statutes of amendment in its current form. Can it be clear can the motion be clear as to what our concerns are, so we are not perceived to be against the legislation?
Well,
because Councillor Clancy clearly
Councillor, if you listen to Councillor Schilling, I believe that's exactly what he was trying to express. He was saying that it's not about not supporting exactly, but expressing reservations based on his points B, C and D, which are primarily financially based.
I appreciate that, but in writing, like what Councillor Schilling says and what's in writing, for the punters who will be reading this online won't know what Councillor Schilling says.
Councillor Hull, I think you're moving beyond questions into debate. So if you get the opportunity, you can raise those questions in debate. And it sounds like you're, well, I'm not sure, but it sounds like you might be speaking in the negative rather than the positive. Let me just collect your thoughts for a moment. We had a speaker in the negative. Do I have another speaker in the affirmative? Councillor Hull, did you wish to speak in favour of the motion? I'm just following the set procedures of council.
Sure. Can I ask the mover whether the mover and seconder whether it can be explicit what our concern is in writing? In other words, that anybody reading this won't come to any misunderstanding about what our real position is. If it's purely about cost and the responsibility, fine. My hand will go up. But if there's connotations in there that we're against the legislation for reasons unknown, I'm not happy with that.
I think you're speaking against, and Councillor Schilling will have an opportunity to address that in closing the debate. If you're not satisfied with Councillor Schilling's response, then vote accordingly, is what I would say. So, Councillor Blesker has already contributed. If there are no other... You've had the opportunity, Councillor Blesker. If there are no other speakers in favour, then I'll leave it to Councillor Schilling to close the debate. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I understand where Councillor Hull is coming from, but I believe that saying Council has reservations rather than being opposed clearly states that we're not opposed, we're not for, we're just concerned that this could have a greater impact on us in the future rather than just, and it says in its current form. So we're stating that the way the legislation is currently written, we have reservations about because we do not want to be impacted now or into the future with budgets and stuff like that. I don't believe that it's saying that Council is for or against this legislation. As I said previously, we've all probably got our own opinions on this. But I believe the way that I have written it clearly states that we have reservations and that we do not want to make decisions on brothels, other regulations, and any potential costs that come to us or regulatory oversight should not be passed on to us. It should be maintained by the government. So I think I've been clear, but if others haven't, I apologise for that.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, the motion is carried by a majority. Page 304. This looks like a good idea. Happy if someone else wants to move that motion. Councillor Blesky.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to report that a resident's been contacting me about dump trolleys in Park Holm for a couple of weeks now, and I got a message today thanking me and thanking staff for their persistence in contacting the trolley tracker service and getting those trolleys picked up eventually. So if there is, this is a good opportunity to look at those people that genuinely need access to some device to get their shopping home. And I think it's a good supplement to what's going to be coming up as far as the proposed bylaw. So this is the carrot, the bylaw will be the stick. And from what I've heard, it's actually quite an influential stick that will be waving if council passes it in the next council meeting. So, members, I do implore you to support this motion, and hopefully we'll have get these trolleys off our streets and, as the residents want.
I thank Mr. Lyons and his team for those collection efforts. Did you wish to add something to that, Mr. Lyons?
A little bit more background there, through the Mayor. There were 17 trolleys in a street in Mr. Velasquez's ward, which we did persist, and we persisted, and we persisted, and then we gave up and we picked them up ourselves. So the four different supermarkets, none of them had responded, and we picked them up.
Is that seconded, Councillor Pryor?
Absolutely. Living in the ward with probably the biggest shopping centre slash trolley problem, highly agree with all of this. All this to get the scourge of trolleys off our streets.
It is just asking for a report. A question from Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, given that you propose this, can you walk us through how this would work? I just want to get my head around it, So I'll just tell you how I perceive it. Basically, we're issuing a trolley to somebody so they can take it home and then take it back to the shopping centre. Is that correct?
Right.
The lazy shoppers a legitimate alternative to taking home supermarket trolleys and leaving them in the street. For the approximately the cost of the outlay to council, so there's no negative to ratepayers, but for those who are willing to spend, as indicated in the report, $15 to $45, they can get a handcart type trolley which might fit several shopping bags full of groceries and or cartons of beer if they wish, and to take them home so that you go from home with your trolley to the shops and back and you don't have the debris on the streets. That's the idea. To encourage personal responsibility and for a modest cost, but no cost to ratepayers. So,
Would this be a trial?
No. We're asking for a report with the idea that potentially hundreds of trolleys might be purchased by council and then sold on to residents. But the options and the costs and so on will be examined.
Right. And will the report have a notional number that we'll purchase up front?
It could be done in a staged approach, of course, to see what the uptake is.
What I'm getting at, if we actually buy, hundreds of trolleys, and the take up is not there, we've actually got more trolleys to have at the depot, along with the ones we've collected.
I'm sure that staff will take those concerns into account in bringing back a report. Any other questions or anyone opposing? Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. In principle, I'm against this motion. I just don't really think that we need to be purchasing trolleys, and I understand the issue that's going on around council, but I think there can be a way that we could do it. We could encourage Woolies and Coles and Foodland to do something similar to Aldi. I know when I shop at Aldi, I want my dollar back, so I go and purposely put my trolley back to plug it in and get my dollar back, because that dollar can be used for another trolley or my morning coffee or something like that. So in principle, I'm against this. I understand where Your Worship's coming from, but I think it's a little bit out of our realm to supply trolleys to residents.
And if I may provide information on one of the services council provides, for example, because of the community benefit in reducing green waste to landfill, we provide free kitchen caddies to members of our community. They can take them for free from council. We provide them, and we do that because there's a community benefit overall if that individual then acts responsibly and puts their waste in the green waste in the caddy and then in their backyard. So there is a comparison there, that's all I'm saying.
Well, quick one, Councillor.
Taking a trolley from Coles or Woolworths home and taking it back, and it won't cost them anything.
Well, I suspect some people do that. If the supermarkets looked in people's driveways and backyards, they'd probably recover a few. Plenty of people do use these trolleys. I know from if you visit the central markets on a Saturday morning, you'll probably see hundreds of them. So they are appealing to some people. Any other contributors? Councillor Crossland has a question.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. People buy these trolleys all the time if they want to use one. Why would they not buy their own trolley now? Why would they buy one that's branded City of Marion for the same price? What's the difference?
Well, presumably it would be cheaper, because I would expect that with a bulk buy, the council could get a good price and therefore pass on a saving to potential purchasers. If there are no more questions, Councillor Velescu, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, look, I think we'll see how we go at the next meeting with the bylaws, but I think looking into this, seeing what could work, and also putting in some contingencies. So, you know, it may be that the report looks at expressions of interest, so council doesn't end up with a whole lot of its own trolleys. There was an Aldi trolley in this group of 17 there, so not everyone worries about their dollar. But I think it also encourages people and gets them thinking about personal responsibility. I think it's important that we look at that, and people don't just have a throwaway culture as far as trolleys go.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I find that the motion is tied, and it won't surprise you that no, I'm going to cast my vote in favour of the affirmative. The motion's carried. So we'll see what happens when the report comes back. Social media policy, page 305. And just ask Councillor Schilling, call on him to move the motion. In that 2.1, should it be "and create a new section in relation"? Is that a typo somewhere?
Whether the City of Marion Council members have incorporated into the current policy and create a new section relating to all forms of media for council members. There were a few spelling mistakes in the original agenda that went out, which I had corrected. I've brought to staff's attention.
All right, so you've actually, it's not there on the screen at the moment.
Yes.
If it's not there on the screen at the moment. In relation is what I was suggesting, but that's not what we started with, is it? Just trying to be helpful.
So the motion, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. The motion on the screen is different to what I have in front of me. What I have in front of me states, whether the City of Marion Council members be incorporated into the current policy and create a new section relating to all forms of media for council members, or...
Okay, so relation becomes relating, and everybody's happy. So please go ahead and move the motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. This came about from another resident that rang me regarding social media policy, and in relation to what's recently happened in a different council with another elected member with regarding stuff that they posted on their Facebook page, and I was asked how would the City of Marion combat that, and it came to my attention that we are not incorporated into the current staff social media policy. So I did a bit of research, and as you can see, it's attached. The City of Campbelltown, from what I understand, includes their elected members into their social media policy. I think it's worth having a look at a social media policy for us, and I think it would help us with any code of conducts that could potentially happen, and would make it a black and white situation. So if someone breached the code, the policy, the social media policy. It's a clear violation of the code of conduct by 2.6, and then other code conduct breaches can be dealt with as well, but it would be a clear code of conduct, and I think it would make it a black and white issue rather than a grey area that it currently is. Hence my motion.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, you wish to speak?
I actually agree with this motion, and also I think it has to be fair and equitable for everybody, including all of the members, and this will make it fairer, and we've got a black and white system in which to operate under.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Holt.
The Mayor, we elected members are not staff. We don't have an office here. We are elected by the people. We are expected to have a point of view, not always everybody agrees with, and you know, like, what next? There's going to be some policy about letters to the editor, or, you know, newsletters. You know, like, you know, I would expect this at the City of Hong Kong at the moment, to be quite frank. Or maybe the City of Adelaide, you know. But not here. You know, like, look, we all have to take responsibility. We all have to take responsibility. We all need to put on our Twitter handle that these are my views or our views, and not the council's, and therefore we should be able to, you know, the council doesn't pay for it. They don't pay for the Twitter account. What about Facebook? You know, a number of people have got, I don't use Facebook for council purposes normally, it's just friends and family. But, you know, we should be able to express ourselves. We should be able to use that as a means of expressing our hopes and aspirations for council. And it worries me that code of conduct comes up in this. So, in other words, if you put something on social media that we don't like, that might be perceived as not respectful, then we're up on a code of conduct. Just because we wanted to express a certain view. Now, look, there was a situation south of us, I believe, that one councillor put stuff on there that was racist. I believe that councillor has regretted that, has apologised. But look, this could happen in a newsletter. We could distribute a newsletter around the council area, or, like I said, write a letter to the editor, or whatever. I just find this as an attempt to gag, and it's not appropriate in our society for elected members to have this. The South Australian Government MPs don't have that applied to them. If, you know, they're not perceived as being employees of the South Australian Government.
Yes, we're certainly not members of Parliament, and hopefully we can maintain higher standards. Is there any other speaker in favour? Councillor Valescu. Yes, I think the idea is to have a report brought back. If this is passed, one would hope that the distinction between the administrative arm and the political element that involves councillors would be clearly distinguished and teased out.
Is there anyone else speaking against? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm not a big social media user, and sometimes, yeah, I do get frustrated with things I read online, but I have to support the words of Councillor Hull that if we as elected members are not allowed to speak in favour or against something unless the CEO agrees to it, it seems completely the wrong way around. Has the CEO got time to check all our social media and give permission before it goes online? I don't think so. I hope not. We have a code of conduct. We're adults. Surely we can actually sort this stuff out. Please, let's not go down, like you say, the Chinese way. If there is no public opinion allowed to be shared, that's certainly not why I'm here on council.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll ask Councillor Schilling to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've said pretty much what I want to say, but coming off Councillor Valescu, it was just a quick search. I'm not saying that we implement that specific policy, but it was an example of elect members are covered under other councils. I don't expect us to have a different arm. I think we can do it in a way that's not as full-on as this one. This was more of an example. But I do think there is a way that we can be more accountable on social media. I don't think it's going to gag us, and I'm all for free speech. I don't think it's going to gag us. I just think we need to control what comments in particular are said. And there have been several codes of conduct over many years regarding social media, and I think we could reduce that with the implementation of something like this.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried, and so a report will be brought back. And just a division's called by Councillor Hull. Just before we do that, well, perhaps just after we do that, the Chair will make a comment. So those in favour, please stand. Councillors Masika, Velescu, Clancy, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling and Duncan, please sit down. Those against were Councillors Pfeiffer, Pryor, Hull, Gard and Crossland. The motion is carried on the division. I was just going to say that possibly Councillor Schilling's motion might have had more favour if it wasn't related to the social media policy that applies to staff. The considerations are so different. If it was just that there should be a social media policy which might convey things like not being able to insult other members, etc., it might have been more straightforward. But in any case, it's passed and staff will bring back a report. So, if there are no questions without notice, motions without notice, or other business, then I'll close the meeting. Thank you.